out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 13th of July 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. It's Friday the 13th. Is it going to be unlucky for Theresa May? I certainly hope so. It looks like she's having a bit of a bad day so far. Last night didn't look too good for her. She was at a special dinner with President Trump. Of course, President Trump is in Britain at the moment, much to the disgust of the left. And the First Lady and Theresa May and her husband were both at this special dinner that was put on for them last night at Blenheim Palace. I've never heard of Blenheim Palace. I watched some of it on the television and there was lots of pomp and ceremony and they had all these beefeaters out playing tunes, military tunes for the two pairs, Donald and Melania and Theresa May and her husband. And I never saw anybody look so out of place as Theresa May. I mean, what you've got there, you've got an alpha male, Donald Trump, you've got an alpha female, Melania Trump, both looking extremely regal and as if they deserved to be there. And then you've got Theresa May and her troll-like husband who is even shorter than she is. I mean, that just shows you what sort of a woman she is. She goes for a man that's smaller than her. And the pair of them are just low-grade beta types, to be honest. They really looked out of place. She just looked shameful. I mean, it's just shameful to have this woman as our prime minister. She's not prime anything. She's D-grade. She's a reject. And her Brexit plan is just awful. I mean, Boris Johnson called it a turd and said that he doesn't want to be involved in polishing Theresa May's Brexit turd. So he has resigned. We've also got David Davis, the Brexit secretary. He's resigned. Others have resigned. I think there's been two people that have resigned from the Tory party every day this week over this ludicrous Brexit plan of Theresa May's. Her actual approval rating is minus 37. Minus 37. That's probably the worst approval rating anyone has ever had. Donald Trump's approval rating is about 50-50 in America. So what you've got there is 90 points difference between them. And Donald Trump gave an interview last night before he went for this dinner at Blenheim Palace, did an interview with The Sun. And he basically spoke his mind and he spoke the truth. And they are really castigating him for this and attacking him for this on the BBC News today. He got asked about Boris Johnson. He said, "Oh, well, I think Boris Johnson would make a good prime minister." Quite an honest thing to say. He likes Boris Johnson, thinks he'd make a good prime minister. What's wrong with that? They are really attacking him for this. They're saying, oh, because he's left the Conservative Party, he should be saying what Theresa May wants him to say. Why would he do anything that Theresa May wants him to do? And he gave Theresa May advice about what to do with Brexit and said that America would be pleased to do trade deals and would be making certain that Britain wasn't worse off for leaving the European Union. So you've got the most powerful country in the world saying they are going to back up Britain and they're going to make certain that we are not worse off when we leave the EU. So he's told Theresa May that. So what does Theresa May do? She ensures that we don't actually leave the European Union. And what Donald Trump has now said is, well, I can't do business with you. I can't do a deal with you if this is your Brexit plan, because it means I'm doing a deal with the European Union, not with Great Britain. I mean, the writing was on the wall that Theresa May was going to do this. When Donald Trump announced his trade tariffs, the trade tariffs were on the European Union. The trade tariffs were not on Great Britain. So those trade tariffs didn't apply to Britain. But Theresa May made certain that they did apply to Britain. She signed herself up with the European Union and worked with the European Union on the response to these trade tariffs. There was no need for her to do that. I mean, that was a betrayal of the British people. And that was a forewarning that she was going to betray the British people again with her final Brexit plan, which is what she's done now. Donald Trump has also hit out against Sadiq Khan, of course. He's pointed out that on Khan's watch, London has just become a den of iniquity. It's now got a higher murder rate than New York. Acid attacks, rape gangs. The place is 60% non-white. And he's pointed out that Mayor Khan, instead of actually doing his job and preventing crime, has spent his time attacking Donald Trump and America and encouraging people to attack Donald Trump. And Khan is a total, well, he's not a traitor because he's not British. He's not white. He may call himself a British citizen, but his loyalty is to Muslims and his loyalty is to Pakistan. It's certainly not to Britain. If he had any loyalty to Britain, he'd be doing all his very best to get on the right side of Donald Trump. I mean, these clowns on the mainstream media are saying, oh, well, we need to have principles, and the principles say that we should be attacking Donald Trump for his misogyny and what all this crap. Principles should be loyalty to your country. That should be the principles that the politicians have. That should be their number one principle, is loyalty to Great Britain. And loyalty to Great Britain means they should be doing all they can to get on with Donald Trump, and they should be honouring the Brexit vote. And Theresa May she's just stuffed the Brexit vote. She's just shat on all the people that voted for Brexit. And she thinks it's hilarious as well. She was in the Houses of Parliament on Monday or Tuesday, whenever it was, when she first addressed them. And Boris Johnson had just left and David Davis had just left. And she was laughing at that fact. Laughing that the people that supported Brexit had actually left her government because her Brexit plan was so god-awful. She found this hilarious. They've got no Leave supporters left in her cabinet. There's no Brexiteers left. They're all Ramonas that are there now. I mean, this woman is an absolute traitor. You know, David Cameron was better than her. You know, I really hate to say it. This woman is just awful. And Donald Trump just gets better and better, I think. I mean, he's really letting the cat out among the pigeons over here in Britain at the moment. The demonstrations that are supposed to be going off in London today, they look very, very sparsely attended. That pathetic balloon that is supposed to be of Donald Trump, everybody I've spoken to just thinks that's revolting. You know, it's absolutely disgraceful behaviour to do that. I mean, people that don't even like Donald Trump are saying that's absolutely disgraceful. How can this mayor get away with doing that and interfering in foreign affairs? That's not his role. His role is as mayor of London, not interfering in foreign politics. He should have nothing whatsoever to do with it. But this balloon, and it really does look pathetic. It just looks like you know, one of those helium balloons. You can't really make out what it is. And it's very sparsely attended. There was a few hundred there around the actual balloon itself. And if you look at the pictures, the drone pictures that show you these people marching, there's probably about 1,000 people, maybe a little bit more than that. Really, really not that many people there. And yet they're trying to make out that there's loads of people. Of course, they're actually busing people there in coaches that have all been paid for by these NGOs, by these organisations that are backing this Stop Trump And yet when you speak, when they interview these people that are going on these demonstrations, and they actually ask them what it is that they are against, they start talking about, oh, misogyny and all this rubbish. And then they start talking about the way he speaks about women and how he's going to turn back all the progress that's been made with feminism. I mean, all Donald Trump did was say that if you're rich and famous, then women throw themselves at you and you can get away with doing whatever you like to them and they won't complain. And that's completely true. You know, this is the thing with this, that what Donald Trump says is actually truthful. And they never attack the veracity of his statements. They just attack the fact that he made them. It's like when they went after him for retweeting a tweet from Jada Frantzen. The three tweets that he retweeted showed footage of Muslims engaging in crimes. Now, there's never been any argument that this footage wasn't actual real footage, although they have said, oh, well, it wasn't verified. It doesn't need to be verified. You can see that it's a Muslim smashing up a statue of the Virgin Mary, it's Muslims throwing somebody off a roof, and it's a brown guy beating up a white guy. It doesn't need to be verified. You can see what that is. And they keep saying, oh, he's retweeted a vile, racist, fascist group from Britain. He's promoted them. No, he hasn't. He just retweeted the footage, the video footage. Video footage that was has been on the news elsewhere. Doesn't matter who it is that's saying this. It's the actual footage itself, whether that is accurate, whether that is truthful or not. Just because somebody else has retweeted it or put it on their site, you know, that really doesn't matter. You know, I've got Donald Trump speeches. We've got them at Radio Aryan. Does that mean that Donald Trump supports Radio Aryan? No, it doesn't. It just means that we think that those particular speeches that he gave are worth listening to. So they don't actually attack what he's saying. They just want to pick holes in anything that he does. And it's brilliant the way that he's stirring things up. It's excellent. And of course, they're playing dirty tricks against the pro-Trump rallies. They've refused to allow them to have a microphone. They're not showing any footage of that. All they're showing you is footage of these people that are against him. And it is all centered in London. Multicultural London, the centre of crime and rape and drugs and all the other problems that we've inherited from the third world by importing them over here. And he's pointed this out as well. He's pointed out that immigration is destroying European culture, and immigration is destroying parts of London that now don't look like London. They now look like Calcutta or Bombay. And he's pointed this out, and of course they're attacking him for that as well. But it's quite truthful. If you just allow unfettered immigration into your country, then your country is going to look like the area where these people are coming from. And they are savages. They are absolute savages. I spoke the other day about what was going on in the Congo, where these Negroes are wearing necklaces made out of female genitals and cooking and eating one another. And we've just had a report that these NGO ships that Italy has said that they're not going to allow to dock in Italy any longer. One of these NGO ships picked up one of these invasion vessels that was loaded full of Negroes. And because they're not allowed to come to Italy, they started turning to Libya. And these Negroes, thanks to the white man's technology, they had smartphones, they had GPS on there, and they could see that the boat was actually heading for Libya, wasn't heading for Europe. So they tried to hijack it. They tried to hijack the rescue vessel and force them to take them to Europe at knife point. You know, this is an invasion. These are savages that just want to invade our country. And these stupid lefties that can't see that. And even when you show them these crimes that are taking place, they say, oh, well, it's our own fault. And these poor Negroes that are raping, they're just doing that because they're misunderstood, or they're doing that because we've called them mean names, because we've been racist to them. It's like they are absolutely blind to facts and figures. It's not worth telling them the facts and figures because they just ignore them. You know, people have to realize for themselves what's going on. It's very rare that you'll actually convince somebody by just showing them, you know, what's going on. Well, I think what you have to do is make the information available so that people that are actually looking for what's going on, that are starting to question things, that they can find it. I think that's possibly more effective than, you know, sort of going out and having a demonstration and handing out leaflets to people that are pro-immigration and anti-nationalism anyway. You know, I think that's why the internet has proved to be so much more successful, because it's a targeted audience. People can find you rather than you going out looking for somebody that might have nationalist sympathies on the streets. People that do have nationalist sympathies are typing into a search engine search terms that are going to give them the information that they need. So it's far more targeted. Again, this is why I think things are a little bit different today. Back when Adolf Hitler was writing and he was saying, well, you know, we cannot have any alliances and we must attack all the other nationalist organizations. We must just have this one. Things were different then. It was different to the age of the internet. With the age of the internet, we need these other organizations. We need the civic nationalist groups and the alt-light, because that's the place that people go at first. I mean, because there is such a disconnect with reality and what people are being taught, when they come across National Socialist information or hardcore white nationalist information, it's absolutely shocking for them. It's absolutely, you know, they just don't believe it. They can't believe it. So they have to be drip-fed it. They have to be weaned onto the hard stuff, as it were. I mean, almost like drugs. You know, they say soft drugs lead on to hard drugs. You know, soft nationalism leads on to hard nationalism. You can't just drop people straight in the deep end unless they have learned to swim first. And they learn to swim by watching stuff like Lauren Southern and Tommy Robinson, who, by the way, has his appeal next week. And they have actually got top judges involved in this appeal. Israel Levant was talking about it. Israel Levant is the most slimiest of Jews, really slimy, loathsome Jew. He was talking about it a while back, and he was saying, oh, it's Lord Leveson that's going to be judging this, so I have lots of faith in him. The reason why he has lots of faith in him is because Lord Leveson is another Jew. But anyway, Lord Leveson has now stepped down, which is a good thing, because he was very biased. He'd already said that Tommy Robinson was guilty. And now they've actually got the Chief Justice involved and a couple of other judges. And I may be wrong here, but I think the Chief Justice is also a Jew. But the reason why they've put these top judges on there is so they can find excuses for why Tommy Robinson has to stay in prison. It's not because they want to give him a fair hearing at all. And Ezra Levant is apparently coming over here. So unfortunately, I expect we might actually see him at the Free Tommy demonstration that's on at the weekend. I hope any of our listeners that are able to go to that, that you are going to go to that, because again, the people that are going to be there, that's our target audience. That's people that are already soft nationalists. And the only reason they're not hard nationalists is because they haven't heard the true information about real white nationalism. You know, they still believe this nonsense that we just don't like people for the color of their skin, or that, you know, that mulattoes can be turned white if enough white people breed with them, or Muslims are okay if they become Christian. You know, all these false ideas that civic nationalists and the alt-light put about, they can all be destroyed just you know, over a pint in a pub talking to them, because we have the facts and figures that they are unaware of. They are unaware of our arguments because they haven't heard them. They don't know what our arguments are. So on the Saturday at the Tommy protest, that is an ideal situation for us to go to and bring people to harder nationalism. And I dare say that most of the audience will be on our side anyway. They always are. The supporters are always far more radical than the actual speakers. if you look at things that, like, Anne-Marie Waters says, I mean, is it, the people that support her are a lot more radical than she is. I mean, she's got to tread this fine line where she's trying to appeal to everybody. You know, the only thing I really does get me about these civic nationalists is the way that they, you know, that they pretend to be the real Antifa. You know, they're arguing against the Antifa, calling them the real fascists. And, you know, and what they're saying there is, well, we are the real Antifa. So they're actually arguing with Antifa, who is the real anti-fascists there, which is just a nonsense. And it does make them look ridiculous. I mean, why make enemies out of people? We've already got enough enemies as it is. The civic nationalists and the alt-right, they've got enough enemies. They've got enough enemies in the Antifa without making white nationalists and the alt-right into enemies. There's no need for that. On the left, you don't see that happening. You don't see anyone on the left attacking the more radical left, the more extreme left. They make excuses for the more extreme left. And we need to have some unity here on the right. I think these Tommy protests show that we can have unity on the right, because that is a just cause. I mean, the man was jailed for exposing Muslim rape gangs, regardless of the fact that he supports Zionism or he supports civic nationalism. He does expose Muslim rape gangs, and he's the only guy that's doing that, and was doing that on a massive scale, and reaching millions of people with it and waking millions of people up. I mean, Tommy's good points far outweigh his bad points, and we shouldn't let these negative things get in the way of getting involved in this. I mean, this is a big movement. There was, on his official channel the other day, there was one of his representatives saying, you know, it's very, very important that there is no violence at this protest at the weekend. And again, because this is exactly what the police are going to do. At the last one, the police were trying to stir things up, and they did manage to stir things up, and five people were arrested, and there was some violence. And they're going to be doing exactly the same again at the weekend. They are going to be trying to provoke trouble. They will be putting the Antifa right next to the nationalists, hoping that there's going to be a fight. So anyone that is going, I just, you know, just try and be patient, and do all you can to avoid getting involved in any confrontation. We know how hard that is to do, especially if you're being pelted with missiles. But you know, people just have to be patient and think about the greater cause, which is, if we can have this big demonstration on Saturday and there is no violence there, then that is going to look really good. And the British government have already started their dirty tricks. Geert Wilders, the leader of the second biggest party in Holland, the leader of the opposition in Holland, he's been told he can't come to Britain to speak at the protest. And they've been very sneaky about the way they've done it. They haven't said, well, you're banned from coming to Britain. What they've said is, we are not going to provide you with a police security detail. And we are not, and as well as that, we are not going to let you bring over a Dutch security detail. We're not going to give them gun licenses. Now, a lot of people have said, well, come over anyway, Geert. We'll protect you. We'll protect you from the Antifa. But that's not the point. I mean, Geert Wilders has a price on his head from the Muslims, the same as Salman Rushdie. Salman Rushdie has to have round-the-clock police to protect him, because there's a fatwa on his head. Any Muslim that kills him will get a massive reward from Muslim countries. And it's exactly the same with Geert Wilders. There's a price on his head. So anywhere that Geert Wilders goes, he has to have a massive police detail to ensure that the man is kept safe. And again, you know, I don't agree with a lot of what Geert Wilders says, but the fact that he's got the courage to speak up about what goes on in Islam, and the fact that he has to put up with having this security detail with him all the time, yeah, that shows that the man has got balls, you know, and he is doing the right thing in that aspect by exposing Islam. I know he's a liberal, and, you know, he just wants, you know, he's pro-gay and all the rest of it. And the fact is that he exposes these Muslim crimes against us and this Islamic mindset that they have. And for doing that, he has put his life at risk. So that's the reason why he has this security detail. And for the British government to say, well, we're not going to give you that. I mean, that goes against all diplomatic protocols. If the leader of the opposition in a country in Europe wishes to come to Britain, you know, they should be laying out the red carpet for them. They should be doing everything they can to help them, providing a security detail and all the rest of it. But Britain is not doing that in this occasion, obviously, because they don't want him to be speaking there. So what he's going to be doing, he's going to be putting out a video. He's going to be recording a video of himself. Now, the representative of Tommy that was speaking about it, he did also say that there are international politicians that are going to be attending. So maybe he was talking about Geert Wilders. Maybe there are some other international politicians. As I say, Israel Levant might be there. You know, it would be really great if Jada Franson could be there. And the way she was being treated is absolutely awful. If you remember a while back when Ben Raymond was on air in Britannia, those listeners listening now that haven't checked that out, do check that interview out because it's got some very important information in it. Ben Raymond was talking about this thing called a CRASBO, which basically means that when you come out of prison, if you've been in prison for political crimes or political speech, a prisoner of conscience, when you come out of prison, you're not allowed to talk to other nationalists. And what they do is they say you're not allowed to fraternize with other racists. So what they've done is they've said, well, Britain First are racists, so therefore you are not allowed to have anything to do with your political party that you are a leader of. And that's what they've said to Jada Franson. She's fighting this in the courts because this is just silencing the opposition, silencing the political opposition. This is exactly what went on in the Soviet Union. And they've been doing this to people like Lawrence Burns and others that have come out from prison. But to actually be doing this against the leader of a political party, I mean, this is drawing attention to it. Of course, the mainstream press hasn't said anything about it at all. But Britain First have, the main Britain First site have, and they're asking for financial help to challenge this in the courts. And there's a petition as well. And this is all part of her parole conditions. She also has to go and live in London when she's just bought a house in Northern Ireland. And this is a part of it as well. They're making her stay in this bail hostel in the middle of London with Muslims and multiculturalists and all people that, you know, that want their head on a plate. I mean, they are putting the woman at massive risk. So, you know, what I would really hope to see is if she was to speak at this demonstration and make a point and saying, you know, this is political persecution that's going on here, trying to silence her, trying to stop her from representing her own political party, because Britain First are a political party that I believe they're now a registered political party. They were contesting elections, or they were just about to contest elections, which is when Paul Golding and Jada Franson got arrested. So by speaking at this demonstration on Saturday, that would be a way to highlight what's happened to her, and that they're trying to, you know, just put a stop to the Britain First movement, the Britain First political party, by banning the leader from having anything to do with them, or the deputy leader, whatever it is they call her. So if she was to be speaking there, that would draw attention to that, as well as the fact that Tommy Robinson should not be in jail for what he was doing. All he was doing was reading out BBC reports outside the court. These BBC reports, they were available online. Anybody could go and check them out. He wasn't filming people that supposedly were. How could he be? He wasn't prejudicing people to anything that was going on in that court, because it was the end of the trial that day, which is why he was there, to report on the end of the trial. As we know, the reporting restrictions were removed the next day. So he's there on false pretenses, really. And there's no way he would have been there if he would have thought that he was going to be in contempt of court for doing so. I mean, he even checked, is it okay to, you know, be filming outside? Because the only reason why he had the suspended sentence is because he was filming inside the courthouse itself, not actually inside the court, but inside the courthouse itself last time. And that's because the police told him it was okay to do that, just as long as he didn't go into the room where the trial was taking place. So that's why he had that suspended sentence in the first place. And that second time, the reason why they, or the excuse they used for jailing him this last time, is because he was just out there on the street. And they said what he was doing was breaching the peace. So it's a breach of the peace now to be reporting on crimes that are actually going on in Britain. Crimes that have already been reported by the BBC. So the thing is, it's because it was Tommy Robinson that was saying it, that's what makes it hate speech. And again, it's because when Donald Trump retweeted those news reports, it's because those news reports came from Jada Franson. That's what made it wrong. This is absolute hypocrisy. Yeah, and it's the same with the Jews. When the Jews can say things, but when we say them, it's anti-Semitic. When the Jews say Jews are responsible for pushing gay marriage on us, that's absolutely fine because we're supposed to be celebrating that fact. But when we say Jews are responsible for pushing gay marriage on us and equating sodomy with normal production of children, then we're anti-Semitic. So it just highlights this one law for them and another law for us. We have a two-tier legal system in Britain. And this persecution of Tommy Robinson really does highlight that. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the podcast. As I say, I do hope anyone going to the Tommy demo on Saturday, I hope they do have a good time and I hope there isn't any trouble. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with Eddie Morrison. God bless and hail victory.